Well, thank you, Ray. I'm just the guy that does the webcast, so. You know, Mike and Sarah really carry the team back there, so it's their expertise. We'll go ahead and, well, first, hold on, I almost forgot my favorite part about being behind the podium. Oh. Happy Sabbath, brethren.
Happy Sabbath.
All right, on the first try, let's go. Everyone's motivated. All right, so we'll jump right in then, because I was ready to do the same. My title today is called Comparison, and it is The Thief of Joy. Part of my inspiration comes from a speaker, Robert Madu, who gave a presentation at Liberty University, and Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, and I'll give them credit where throughout my message for their input. So we'll jump right in, starting with 1 Samuel 18, verses 7 through 9, so I'll give you time to get there. But so I want to kind of set the stage. We'll read a couple of scriptures. I'll give you a question, and then we'll kind of get to the crux of my message. So that's 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 7 through 9. And this is from the English Standard Version. And the women sang to one another, and they celebrated, "Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands. What more can they have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day on. So I think in conjunction with my title, you can see here that Saul was already jealous and comparing himself to David. And we'll kind of juxtapose that with the opposite of where we should keep our eye and our hope and our focus. And that's going to be Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. So Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God." And so we're all called to run our own race, brethren. I could only run mine, you can only run yours, and my race is going to look different than yours. So, and also, let's see here. Well, that's good. So then we'll go jump down a couple of verses to verses 6 and 8. And then this is the conjunction here. "God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show us the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by his grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves." So two things here that I want to kind of want you guys to hold on to is he raised us up. Christ sacrifices for all of us. And then the word here is not from yourselves, because as we'll get to, or at least what I've found is whenever I'm unhappy, it's because I'm focusing on myself. And then here, I'll give you time to turn to Ephesians 2, verse 10. And in Robert Badu's message, he talks about we are God's masterpiece. And so here in Ephesians 2, 10, he says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God had prepared in advance for us to do." That's a wonderful reminder that, especially again, in the context of comparison, that we each have our own goal, our own race that only we can accomplish. And reminding us that God has designed us for that work really, you know, helps me get out of my own way. So now that I've laid the groundwork, and I'll build to my testimony, and then I'll recap what I've learned. I've got a rhetorical question for you. Which of your five senses would you like to give up? Taste, touch, smell, hearing, feeling? Or better yet, which part of your body would you give up? And if you say your kidney, you gotta give up both of them, okay? And so that reminds me of 1 Corinthians 12 here, verses 15 through 17. And so again, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 15 through 17. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? And because the eye says, I am not the body, I'm sorry, because I'm not an eye, am I not the body? Is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? Or if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? And this comes from a lot of mornings I wake up and I think I'm missing something from my life. Sometimes it's physical. Other times I'm just not happy that I've been so blessed and I don't think I realize how blessed my life is. It's because I'm busy counting what I don't have. But I guarantee you, someone looks up to me and someone looks up to you and wishes they had your life. And man, that's humbling. Because I'm pretty sure I always compare myself upwards. I don't do it downwards. Not like the tax collector and the rich man. It's always what I don't have, what I'm missing, what I feel like I'm entitled to but don't have. And I know there's people that look at me that I probably don't know. And they go, Graham, he's got it all. And that's usually me turning the corner. If I can get to that point, it's uphill from there. It's up in a positive direction from there. I have such a wonderful, loving family that we get to enjoy and spend time with each other, that we actually enjoy hanging out with each other. I have a nice car to drive to work that works functionally. Howard and I were just talking about that today unintentionally. I get to speak at church, which is a blessing I don't take lightly. I truly believe it's an honor to speak God's word up here and, you know, encourage you guys. So that's usually enough for me to get out of my own comparative thoughts. I humbly and sheepishly think how selfish and ungrateful those thoughts are. That doesn't mean I don't want to push myself, become better, and achieve, because I know God wants to bestow me and all of us his lovingly gifts. In fact, when I actually get to that point, the opposite tends to happen. I give thanks for the blessings I've been given. And it's usually on the way to work that I have these thoughts. I think of my clients. They're relying on me to fight for them. Most of my clients work hard work. Farm workers, cooks, chefs, construction workers. They make the wonderful society in that we live run as it does. And it's their labor that takes a toll on their physical body. And when they're injured, I get to go to work, sit in a chair, temperature-controlled environment. And so for me to overcome my thoughts while they go out to work and produce productively for us. So yeah, that usually snaps me out of my woe is me attitude. And again, I think this modern life, we get so caught up in, because we have all, we know all, you know, here in the United States, we're all the 1% compared to the rest of the world. And so I would caution, you know, thinking if I just had X, it's a problem for two reasons at least. And the first is, it assumes that you won't be able to attain it. And secondly, it makes your happiness or peace dependent on something other than God. And so that brings me to a quote from Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, when he's talking about, you know, happiness and self-awareness. And so the quote is, there is no difference between thinking about yourself and being miserable. And that hits me, because as I just mentioned, when I'm thinking about what was me, what don't I have, you know, it's easy, you know, growing up in and around Orange County, everybody drives a nice car, lives in a big house, their life seems perfect. But, you know, who knows what they had to go through to get there. And again, that's me being the center and not God. So we'll turn to Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, and I'll give you time to get there. So Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. So for as we as many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And then again, to jump back to 1 Corinthians 12, and we can turn there. We're going to jump around in that chapter a little bit. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll verse 21 to 23. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. So let's jump back to 18, because I haven't quite missed this second part of my message, but what I did earlier is we're God's masterpiece. So verse 18 in 1 Corinthians 12. But now God has set the members, each one of them, that's each one of us, brethren, in the body just as he pleased. And that's kind of tough. So whatever your struggle is, you either believe God's God or you're going to struggle. And it's, you know, whatever our challenge is, it's, you know, God is God. He's got his perfect timing. Our lessons, as I'll get to here today, you know, it's, we ask for strength and we think he's just going to drop strength on you, but it's the trials that build that strength. So, and then second, continuing in 18. Oh, I'm sorry. So here, the answer to my question is verse 24, 1 Corinthians 12, is all of our senses, all of our body parts are all important. So verse 24, but God composed the body, having given great honor to that part which lacks it. And that reminds me of working out as, you know, you'll work out and you go, oh, I didn't realize I had a muscle there, and it's pretty sore. And you go, oh, well, it's been working pretty good until then, and then when it's sore, you realize how grateful you are for it. So again, brethren, we are God's masterpiece and are called to master peace. I've mentioned earlier this year that I had a revelation that I thought was pride as being loud and boastful, and that's certainly part of it. But relying, in my case, on intellect is if I couldn't see an answer to a solution, I didn't think there was a solution that could be found. And well, that's a lack of faith in an attempt to put a limitation on God. And I think I've been blessed with a certain amount of intellect and a capability to reason. But don't worry, I've still made plenty of dumb decisions in my life. So, and as a crutch or any other trait, I tend to rely on that intellect, especially for part of my job, to be a fierce advocate for my client. I want to solve whatever I can that's set before me with my intellect. But that intellect for me comes from God. And I can't help but see how Luciferian that is to essentially fall in love with ourselves. And again, to try to jump back to Jordan Peterson's quote, is there is no difference between thinking about yourself and misery. And that's how I kind of see that, is Satan fell in love with himself. So trust me, brethren, Proverbs 3:5 comes screaming to the front of my mind, which is lean not on your own understanding. And obviously, I don't think I got as much intellect as I think I did. So as I've prepared, brethren, I talked about strength. And that was the epiphany that as each morning I've had to break the cycle of the woe is me and I don't have enough. I think that was God giving me strength to capture my mind. So in summary, brethren, the three highlights or 3 points I'd like to offer as takeaways. First, we are God's masterpiece, and we are called to master peace. Second, comparison is the thief of joy. And third and finally, today's struggles are tomorrow's strength and glory in God. Happy Sabbath, brethren.